Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live, where we bring you the best in music, books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us. Now, here is your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author J.J. Amawuro-Wilson is making his first appearance on our program today to talk to us not only about his literary journey, but what it's been like for him to share that with all of you. His newest work is called Damnificados. We're going to talk to him not only about the novel, but what it was like for him to piece together the story that really shows what people are doing when they feel as though their backs are against the wall and they have nowhere else to turn. If you're just now hearing about J.J. in the book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can stay connected with him, as well as how you can get the book for yourself. But J.J., hello to you, and welcome to the program, man.
Hello, Cyrus. Thank you very much for having me on the program. I'm really honored. I'm a big fan, and I'm just very, very pleased to be here. Thank you.
Well, look, man, I appreciate your saying that. Congratulations to you on the book. I'm a fan for sure after reading this, and we'll be telling our audience a little bit later more about Damnificados. But, you know, you're beginning 2016 in a really big way, man. You have been able to share your love of words for quite some time and to be able to see your work being published. But what has it been like for you, JJ, to see the response of this novel and the way that people are really enjoying the themes that you've layered together?
Oh, it's just been amazing. It's been amazing. I mean, I think the thing that a writer really wants is a readership above everything else. You know, we never expect to get rich or to be famous or to be driven around in limousines. We just want to share our ideas and our stories.
Right.
And honestly, the reception for Damnificados has just been amazing. I mean, it was on Oprah's. It was in Oprah's magazine O as one of the top 10 picks for January 2016. It had a great review in the Wall Street Journal, in the LA Progressive. It's kind of taking off, and I'm just so pleased to see that we have a few readers who like it.
Right.
So
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it's more than a few, JJ, for sure. But you know, I think it's great that you say it that way, because it does go to the motive, I think. And it also, I think, as to why it is resonating so much. I think when you do what you love from an authentic place, I know I have definitely learned that things definitely turn out better for you because your expectation is really just to be able to do your best. Do you think your being able to just go into this, wanting to give your best work, is one of the reasons why that effort is being rewarded?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know it's a real cliche that your book is your baby, but honestly, you do live with the characters and you live with the conditions. You live in that environment. You're kind of living a second life as you write fiction, as you write a novel, particularly an extended piece of fiction. You know, it may take you a year or two to write. It took me a year, the first draft. And I really was living with those characters. I was seeing the world through their eyes. Every time there was a setback, I was suffering with the hero. You know, it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it was a painful process because, you know, for a writer, you're sitting at your desk. You're not down in the mine digging or anything. You're not risking your life. But
right.
I really lived with those characters. And I lived with that story. And yeah, of course, I gave it my best shot. You know. What else can you do? What else is life for? You got to give it your best shot, Cyrus, and as you know. So that's really, yeah, that's how I felt about the novel.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, because I think everything comes from somewhere. So where did that mindset come from for you, JJ, that was the intent? Because as you said, you know, unfortunately, you know, there are some people who write because they want to be rich and famous. Unfortunately, there's some people who write out there because they do want the limos and they want that lifestyle. But, I mean, do you think that because of the way that you are, that is why you were able to approach this project and others from such a pure place?
Yes, absolutely. I think most people who write because they want to be rich and famous are not going to make it. You know, you've got to put your heart and soul into it. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. May I talk just a little about the sort of genesis of the novel?
How I came
to write about it. It's quite an interesting story, I think. I was in Caracas, the capital of Venezuela. I was on a book tour for a different book, and I was staying in my hotel, and I couldn't sleep. I was kind of jet lagged, and so I took a stroll And I went for a long, long walk, and I was walking for maybe a couple of hours, as I usually do in a new city. And I walked into quite a poor area. It really was a kind of slum. And then in the middle of this sort of poor area, there was this enormous skyscraper, this huge tower, and it was clearly unfinished. But there were people living there, because I could see people strolling around the walkways, and I could see there were lights on. This was at 2 in the morning, but there were lights on. And it just intrigued me, what is this huge unfinished tower doing in the middle of Caracas, and why are people in it? And so I hailed a taxi to get back to my hotel, and I asked the taxi driver about it in my terrible Spanish, and he sort of gave me the story of the tower, that it was an unfinished skyscraper. It was supposed to be a symbol of Venezuela's oil boom. You know, they had this big oil boom when they got very rich. But unfortunately, the boom turned to bust. The economy crashed. The financier died. And so the tower was never finished. But then several hundred damnificados, poor homeless people, moved into the tower. And I just found that fascinating. So the people living in there, they were the ex-homeless. They were the poor. They were alcoholics, ex-drug addicts, gang members. They really were what you would term the lowest of the low, you know. They were considered the dregs of society, and they were living in this tower. And they managed to make a community of it, a wonderful, thriving community. You know, they set up stores and schools and internet cafes. They built a gym on the roof. You know, they did all of this themselves. So, as you can imagine, Cyrus, I found that fascinating. I thought it was a fascinating story. And then when I got back to the States, I kept on hearing about this tower, the Tower of David. I kept on hearing about it by chance, you know, because there was an episode of Homeland filmed in the tower. There was a piece in the New Yorker, a journalistic piece. And there was an exhibit of photographs taken of people who were living in the tower by a Swiss photographer called Ivan Bahn. So all these things kept on pushing me to write about the tower, to investigate it. And I just found the subject fascinating. And then this one day I just thought, okay, I'm going to write a novel. And I just sat down and began, started on page one. All I had was the image of the tower and all these damnificados, these poor homeless people moving into the tower, taking it over, and building a thriving, successful community. And somehow that kind of sustained me through the writing of the novel.
Yeah.
So
that's
the kind of origins of the novel.
Yeah, and I think, you know, and even in your sharing that, JJ, and I think even for those who, when they read the book, they'll see that there is, you know, definitely a story of hope, but also of what one will do when there seems to be none, when there seems to be no hope. I'm going to actually share a passage that you wrote between the character, I think it's pronounced Nacho, and the priest there. I'm going to read that here in a moment. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're speaking today with J.J. Amawuora-Wilson. He's the author of the book Damnificados, and it's a book that's available now for our friends to be able to get through Amazon.com, as well as, of course, through your favorite bookstore. We'll remind you of that a little bit later. One of the passages that really struck me, and I knew I wanted to share it in this conversation with you, JJ, is one between the character Nacho and the character, the priest, because they're talking about these people and how it is the priest that kind of looks at them as being these individuals that are, you know, are not really, you know, it's almost as if they're not really human. And because they're not coming to him, he does not feel as though he can help them. And in the passage that really struck me, you have, you know, the priest saying to them about reading, talking to Nacho about reading. And one of the things that is said is this, and I want to actually share this. Reading and writing are important. I have to read the Bible to them like children, but you know where literacy leads. And Nacho asks, what do you mean? And then this is what the priest says. They'll read books. They'll read the Constitution. They'll read their rights. They'll learn they have been exploited throughout history, and then there'll be only one end. Nacho asks, which is? and the priest answers revolution. And so there does seem to be almost a pessimism. But then as the priest talks, this is the passage that really got me that I want you to talk about. And that is when Nacho finally says to the priest, after he says, you know, they won't come to service, Nacho says this, then go to them. Go to them in their stinking homes. Drink their foul coffee. Sit on their stolen furniture like you're sitting on mine. And then you say this. He says this, look them in the eye and listen to their stories. You can't love them if you don't know them. And stop thinking of them as them. They aren't another species. They are us. That's on page 90 for those who have the print edition of the book. I want to talk to you about that, JJ, because for me this book is really about people seeing their value and also realizing that other people see them for who they are, that people recognize who they are. Do you think that's one of the messages that really stands out in this book?
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. That's actually a key passage in the book. In a sense, that's a microcosm of what the book is about, that little passage you just quoted. I'm so glad you read it. Because if you take the media's idea of a slum or a shanty town or a favela in Brazil, or they all have all these different names for these areas. If you're just looking in from the outside, all you see is a problem. All you see is dysfunction. But if you're in there looking out, that's not how you see yourself. That's not the way you think of your life, you know. You go into a poor area, there are families there, they're trying to bring up their children, they place value on their lives, they place value on education. People in slums are incredibly creative, you know, they
right.
recycle everything because they have no money to buy new stuff, so they recycle. And so it really is about pride, about recognizing yourself, your qualities, your values. I think that's such an important point you made, that it's about getting together and finding hope and being able to change your own circumstances through your own efforts, not through a government, because the government in Damnificados is completely corrupt. They're not going to do anything for the poor. So the poor have to do it themselves. So that's very much what the novel is about. I know I'm talking hope and change, which kind of sounds like Obama 2008. But it is a big part of the novel that these people who were homeless, damnificados, the lowest of the low, managed to get organized through their leader, Nacho, and they managed to make a life for themselves. So, Cyrus, you're absolutely right. You know, you pinpointed a really key passage and a key theme of the book.
Well, I bring that up for another reason, too, because it goes back to your telling the story of how this all came about. Because I believe, and I could be wrong because I'm just another reader like other people who will read the book, and, of course, we won't know unless we hear it from you, so that's why I have to ask you the question. Do you feel as though you had to write this book, JJ? I'm just going to be honest with you. I at the end of the book, when I first realized what it was inspired by, I read an interview that you actually had done where you talked about it. Do you feel as though you wrote this book to make sure that stories of people like this were told, that maybe you weren't able to do anything for those individuals that, you know, the original Damnificados that you learned about, you weren't able to make sure their stories were known, but that you were showing people that we have to make sure in our areas that the Damnificados are not forgotten and that their voices do matter?
That's certainly a part of it. But I would say, first and foremost, the novel is to entertain. You know, it's a story, it's fiction, it's supposed to have elements of humor. It's
mm-hmm.
supposed to have, it has a hero, it has bad guys, it has tension, it has action, it has some violence, it has what's supposed to be amusing dialogue. So my number one priority in writing the book is that readers should enjoy it. Now, if they take a message from it about the Damnificados of this world, if they realize there is a moral aspect to it, that I am telling the story of the poor and the oppressed, who have been oppressed for thousands of years, if the reader realizes that, to me, that's great. It's a bonus. It's important to me. But number one, I think if you're going to write fiction, you have to engage your reader in a way that is, you know, that entertains the reader. That's my number one priority, that people should enjoy it. Because otherwise, I'd have just written a nonfiction book. I'd have just written a sort of, I'd have written a long, extended article about the poor in Latin America or something. So really, my number one priority is to entertain the reader. But I think if you're going to read this book, you cannot escape the message. It's so clear. I think it's so clear what I'm talking about, that I'm really on the side of the damnificados, that I want to tell their story. So I think the novel is doing both things. Certainly,
right.
If it's successful, it's doing both things. It's entertaining and informing the reader.
Yeah, I think that is a really good point. And like you said, I mean, I think that is also what keeps it fun for you as a storyteller, knowing that, I mean, you are able to tell the story that you want to be able to tell, and not so much one, of course, that, you know, that is that of history. So when people do tell you, you mentioned some of the praise that the book has gotten. Of course, you can't get any better than being mentioned in O Magazine. I feel like that's like, you know, the top of the top. So when you saw that, when you realized you were getting that kind of attention, was that like for you just like a wow, you know, a verification or a confirmation that your work that you did give so much of yourself to, you know, was being able to reach people?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you publish particularly a work of fiction, you're really just, you put your whole life and soul into it for a couple of years, and then you're just throwing it out into the world, and it's like a snowflake. It can just disappear. No one ever reads it. No one ever sees it. And that actually happens to most of the books, particularly fiction, that go out into the world. You know, they disappear. There's a few readers, and then that's it. So to get that kind of recognition keeps the book alive for a little longer. It means people are talking about the book. And that's, you know, that's all you can really hope for, I think, when you write fiction. So, as you said, Cyrus, it was a great kind of almost a relief that, oh, great, my book hasn't disappeared completely. I would also like to mention the publisher, PM Press. They publish books that really get across ideas. You know, they publish a lot about the environment, a lot about social justice and civil rights. And that's actually why I chose PM Press as my publisher. Hmm. And I was really pleased for PM Press that my book got some national coverage, because PM Press, you know, they're not one of the big, big, big publishers that make billions of dollars, but they're in it because they're interested in ideas and they're interested in making the world a better place. And that, for me, is much more important than them being a money-making machine. So I was kind of pleased for PM Press too that I was getting this, that the book was getting this kind of coverage.
Yeah, that is a great thing as well. One thing I did notice, you have your website, you have your blog, JJ, but how have you managed to kind of stay under the radar when it comes to kind of being, you know, kind of swept up in the social media phase that so many of us are? Because I thought that was interesting too when I was prepping for this segment. I typically will tag the guests online for the different segments. And that's one thing, you've been able to keep a fairly low profile and kind of separate your work from your life.
Yeah. I guess I just have other things I prefer to do rather than sort of being on Facebook every minute and on Twitter and that kind of thing. I'm not even on Twitter.
Right.
I honestly, I like to read. I like to travel. I like to walk in places I've never walked before. I spend most of my time living a quiet life, reading and writing, looking after a young family. And honestly, until Damnificados came out, social media wasn't a big part of my life. I'm doing a bit better now. I got my blog. I'm on Facebook. But that marketing aspect of being an author was never the reason I wanted to be an author. I didn't want to become famous. I still don't particularly want to become famous. I just want my book to get the readership, you know, to get a decent readership. And I guess it's something to do with one's values and what one wants to do in life, you know. I still don't feel that a writer needs to be on Twitter every 10 minutes. I think maybe it will help. Maybe it would help, but it's just not a priority for me.
Yeah.
And people can reach me on my website, on my blog.
Sure.
I'm on Facebook.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think, no, I mean, and I definitely wasn't saying it was a bad thing. I just think, you know, I think it does say a whole lot that you've been able to accomplish what you have and to do what you do without that. So, I mean, I definitely think that says a whole lot as well. Do you find yourself driven by the what's next, JJ? Do you find yourself, I mean, this book is now out. As you said, you spent the time with it. You know, do you find yourself now, you know, questioning, okay, so what's next for me? Or you know, or what is it I'm going to devote my life to next?
Yeah, I've already started on a new novel, so it's not really a question for me. It's, you know, writing fiction is honestly what I want to do for the rest of my life. So whether it works out like that or not, I'm gonna give it a shot. So it's not a question. I mean, there are so many great stories out there, as you know more than most. You know, the refugee crisis going on at the moment. There's all kinds of changes going on in the world, and you just open up any newspaper, and there are interesting stories to write about. And I'm just keeping my eyes open, and I have an idea, and I'm working on it already. So,
yeah,
it's not too big a question for me.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely be looking out for you. We'll be telling our audience here in just a moment, JJ, how they can stay connected with you. But the book that we've been discussing today is called Diamond Focaccias. Again, it's by JJ Amawara Wilson. And it's a book that I think you'll be able to pick up. As JJ says, you'll be entertained, but it definitely will make you think. And especially in the world that we're living in today, I mean, what happens in this book is not something that is so far-fetched, I think, these days. When you think about, you know, the different things that are going on across this country and around the world. But JJ has definitely been able to tell a story, I think, that does entertain, that does make you really, I think, become a part of it, but also look at the individuals around you differently. And I think that's what really, I think, is one of the big things away from it. So, JJ, we mentioned the website and the blog. How can they stay connected with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. It's just under JJ Wilson, not with the very difficult Nigerian name Amawuru. It's just JJ Wilson on Facebook. And I have a website, jjawilson.com, and it gives ways to contact me. I have my blog, which is on WordPress. That's also jjawilson.wordpress.com. So I'm pretty easy to get hold of, even though I'm not on Twitter. I'm pretty easy to get hold of. And I'd love to hear from readers what they think of the novel, whether it inspires them to pass the book on or to take action in their community. I'd be very happy to hear from readers.
So make sure you all take advantage of that opportunity. Stay connected with Jay through his website for sure. And as you said, you'll be able to contact him directly from the website as well. JJ, man, great conversation with you. Thank you so much for the time, and looking forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you, Cyrus. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for all the great work you do.
Well, okay, I appreciate that. And we thank you, our audience, for joining us for another great segment of Conversations Live. If you're joining us on the radio side of our show, you all stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, though, that's going to do it for us for this segment of our program. So if you came in late and missed part of the conversation, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media sites at facebook.com/CyrusWeb. You can find it there. And also twitter.com/CyrusWeb. You can click on the link there. You can listen to the show completely for free and share it with your friends from there. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.